He's a super friend of the show. He's been with us since day one. He is Tim May. And right now he is on the Fan Hotline. Tim, Jeff is off today. Tom Withers, the great Tom Withers, is with us as well. So look at me. I'm surrounded by two of the greatest beat writers in the history of newspaper. Hello, Tim.
Well, hi, guys. What's going on?
What are you doing?
Mickey Mouse.
I'm doing it. I was doing one of my mini voices.
You're so talented.
I had a
talented
guy walking me the other day, man. Just kind of upset me a little bit. He said, "Why do you still have a southern accent?" And I go, "I said I don't. You've got a northern accent." He goes, "What are you talking about? What, you know, was I supposed to take diction and speech classes when I moved up here from Texas? Below those many years, heck, it's going on 50 years. I've moved up here in 76, and." I guess I wasn't offended, but, you know, why don't you go up to some guy from New Zealand and go, "Why do you still sound like a guy from New Zealand?" I don't know. I didn't know you were. It's funny because my baby brother, who's, by the way, 68 years old, maybe brother who lives in Texas, makes fun of me for sounding like I live up north. So, you know how it
live
goes.
Up north. I don't know. You sound like you live south of I-70. That's all
I
hear.
I do. Exactly. I mean, there you go, brother.
Yeah, that's an Obetz accent if I've ever heard one.
Grove City, you know what I mean? Grove Tucky, as they call it here.
I wasn't
exactly
going there.
Right.
At least we're on in Cleveland, unless you're streaming us in Columbus right now.
Hey,
and then,
what if I did that voice? What if I do the whole thing in that voice I came on with? Hi, guys. Let's go play some football. That doesn't sound southern, does it?
No.
Well, it sounds
I want to keep my job,
like
somebody, so I'm gonna continue.
It sounds like somebody's applying pliers at exactly the right spot. But go ahead.
Yes, there you go. Well said. That's why he's such a master of the words that you use.
Wordsmith.
You know, I'm just, you know, you're just saying. Oh wait, did I say that too, Julian?
Yeah.
All right. Was this actually a battle for the quarterback spot at Ohio State?
Absolutely.
It was.
Absolutely, it was.
Okay.
Yeah. Number one, Julian Sayers never started a game in college football. He's a, you know, in the old days, he'd been a sophomore, but he's a second-year player. And Lincoln Kennels has been here for three years. And he had that ridiculous assignment of replacing Devin Brown when Devin Brown got hurt in the Cotton Bowl against Missouri.
Yeah.
As I've said many times on your show and many other shows, the worst offensive line performance I've ever watched from an Ohio State football team. I mean, it was really bad. And so I don't count that against Lincoln Kennels, but Lincoln Kennels is a really great athlete who, you know, has become a much better passer the longer he's been in Ohio State, and he can run. But, you know, Julian Sayin can run too. That's what most people don't want to. They just want to have things cookie cutter like. Well, this guy is a dual threat, and this guy isn't. Well, Julian Sayin at one point was listed as maybe the top or second best dual threat quarterback prospect, you know, several years ago when he was at Carlsbad, California, and people forget that. But he would much rather stand there and chop you up, much like a dart thrower at a bar.
Does he throw it as well as we've heard, Timmy? We've seen such a small sample size with him on the field. I don't know how many, you know, 8 games or whatever, but just, you know, a couple of series here and there. And we hear so much about the release and some of the comparisons. And somebody's telling me they reminded him of Joe Germain and just the way the ball comes out. What are your thoughts on him?
Well, the best receiver in the country, Jeremiah Smith, said he's extremely accurate, meaning he puts the ball, you know, he doesn't throw it just to the receiver. We throw it just, you know, for the most part, throws it to the receiver in the right spot where,
right,
you know, if in fact you've got somebody on you, it will help you get away. We'll see how that goes with a big time rush again, right in his face, next Saturday. And, I'll have to eat all these words because he may be scrambling, who knows. But I think the offensive line, by the way, for Ohio State has an advantage in this game. Just when you size up who's back, who's playing well, et cetera, and people that Texas is replacing, especially up front. But as usual, I digressed. I can sit here and say all kinds of things about him. That's what I like about Tom. I like this about preseason, about offseason. You know, when we talk to these guys, you know, I'm feeling great, throwing the ball well, you know, blah, blah, blah. You talk to the receivers, oh, my goodness, he's so good, blah, 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 blah. You talk to the defenders, oh, my goodness, he puts the ball right on the spot, right on the money. You got to be you got to be so tight with your coverage, blah, blah, blah. But then again, you know, when you got a blitz in your face and you're getting hit, as opposed to wearing a don't hit me black jersey, the world can go upside down on you in a heartbeat.
So true.
But just watching him just physically throw the ball, he's right there with Dwayne Haskins. I mean, in terms of just woof, you know, the ball comes right out. And matter of fact, as far as just pure release, he's probably the best quick release I've seen at Ohio State. And I've been doing this since 1984. And before that, you know, when Schleister was there and stuff, I mean, I helped cover some of those games and things. But matter of fact, covered a couple of games with Schleister in high school, but I'm digressing once again. I just like this guy, man. He's got that snap release. But, you know, the bottom line is, you, and especially in college, you've got to get two guys ready to play, especially when neither one of them have started a game for you. And that's the, you know, that's what will be interesting. If he does struggle early, what Ohio State will do in that regard. C.J. Stroud struggled in the first half against Minnesota in his first start in 2021. And he was getting, you know, he was getting things. I get Cal McCord in there, who was a freshman, by the way. And get Cal McCord in there, this, that, and the other, you know, on the internet, on Twitter, because people have the patience, you know, of a almost said something bad there. People don't have much patience anymore. Yes. There we go. Most fans.
Trust that. We're watching this quarterback race here. We know about patience.
Yeah.
Because there's none here right now.
Yeah. I know y'all know. I'm just speaking redundantly here. But the bottom line is, you got to give these guys time to get their feet under them, to play some, not just quarters or series, but to play some games to really know what they're all about. So, but Julian Sayin has the wherewithal to be really, really good.
Okay. Let me throw this at you. You got to reload it running back. You know, Quinshon's here. Travion's out, too. I wish those guys were still playing at Ohio State. So you got what? James Peoples, C.J. Donaldson. And then I'm not kidding. I love Bo Jackson. I watched him in high school. I watched that kid run track. I watched him play football. He reminded me of watching LeBron James play basketball against high school teams. He was a man among men. And I don't know if he's a freshman behind those two guys. So you tell me, will Bo see anytime?
You know what, he should, based on what we saw in the spring and what we saw a little bit in preseason camp. I would think he should, because why not, right?
Just
everything you just pointed out. C.J. Donaldson's a transfer from West Virginia. He's actually slimmed down from where he played at last year, but he's more of that, you know, if you had to pigeonhole James Peoples and C.J. Donaldson, James Peoples would be more of the Travion Henderson, even though he's really more of the J.K. Dobbins kind of look, looking back. A little bit bigger than J.K. Dobbins. And then Donaldson, based on the way he played at West Virginia, more of that power back, Quinshon Judkins type, except, you know, he looks pretty good, just regular. And then Bo Jackson, you know, the parent of spares, you remember Archie Griffin used to say, well, he was, I don't know, that might have been before y'all's time, but you got to have that parent of spare. He's definitely a great spare, not one of those kind that you can't exceed 55 miles an hour with and just get to the next tire dealer. I think he can go in there and like a race car tire and do some things. And I know they like him a lot, but, dude, this is one of those games. You guys have been around this as almost as long as I have. It's one of those games where you're reluctant to go. You're reluctant to go into that, for want of another term, bullpen, or go very deep in the playing roster, because it's such a ridiculous matchup, Ohio State versus Texas, 1 versus 2.
Sure.
1 versus 3, depending on your preferential poll. So, but I would think he would play some.
So, Tim, it's still Ryan Day's offense, but Brian Hartline's going to be running it now. What, in the Chip Kelly, you know, taking off to the Raiders or what have you, how do you think it's going to be any different look? Is Hartline ready for this? What do you think about that switch?
Well, it goes back to what I said about is Julian Sayin ready for this. Well, only way we're going to know is what we see on Saturday, right? Yeah. Brian Hartline, you know, I think he's the same age as Lincoln Riley, or they're about the same age. I mean, he's been around, but of course he was in the NFL for eight, nine seasons.
Right.
Then he kind of got into coaching at Ohio State almost on a lark, kind of showed up and said, can I do anything? You know what I mean? Back in, I think it was 2016 or 17, and Urban, you know, heck yeah, Urban wanted him around and stuff. And then, of course, as a GA, in 17 and then early in 18 before Urban Meyer fired Zach Smith, it was pretty obvious Brian had quite a bit of acumen, you know, in terms of coaching. So, but here's, that's what I'm getting to. I think the guy has a feel for what he wants to do.
Right.
Even though it's the Ohio State offense, we all saw Chip Kelly put his imprint on it with some of the play calling, more of the emphasis back on the running game, not just we're going to call more run plays, but what they did up front. I mean, the way they got after things and changed some things up front with blocking schemes, et cetera. And then, of course, you had two backs, two incredibly unselfish backs who shared the time. And, you know, wow, did they have an offseason? I mean, offseason. Did they have a postseason for the ages, Trevion Henderson and Quinshon Judkins? So, you know, but they want to. Here's the thing. Well, I'm getting to your Brian Hartline, as much as anybody, understands the value of a strong, stout running game. And he even, and I've been telling people this, I sit there on as many lectures as I can when they have the Ohio State Football Coaches Clinic, mainly for high school coaches. But, I mean, his deal, you know, it seemed like three quarters of his lecture to these guys was about establishing that run game. You got to do it.
Yeah, interesting.
You got to do it. But here's what they want to do. I mean, that's why I kept saying I thought Julian Sayin would ultimately be the guy, because I think Julian Sayin is the better passer of the two quarterbacks, and they want to establish the run game with their running backs and their offensive line and tight ends, and then they want to establish the passing game as a legit, pretty much from the launch pad passing game. Yeah, if you can scramble around and make some plays, that's good too. But, you know, you want that launch pad going. And with this plethora of wide receivers plus the tight ends. I mean, Max Clair, you know, he may be that phenomenon about to happen, the transfer from Purdue at tight end. So, but anyway, Brian Hartline totally gets the balanced approach. That doesn't mean you're going to run, if you run 60 plays, 30 are going to be runs and 30 are going to be passes.
Right.
It just means you're going to give them a steady diet of trying to run the ball down their throat. And that's what wore them. That's what helped them against Texas, you know, in the Cotton Bowl last season. So I would expect him to, you know, to do it all. But I expect him, you know, he may make some mistakes. How are we going to know it, right? I mean, unless he confesses. But I remind people, when the offensive coordinator is calling plays, he's calling plays from a set list of plays that everybody agreed on offensive room all through the week, or probably in the last 6 months, how they're going to get after Texas. So it's not like you're just like, all right, I'm going to draw this up right now. We're going to be all geniuses. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they don't even have any dirt on the field. It's all rubber pellets, right? Yeah, you can't even do that. Tim, next week we'll be talking about the game itself. I can't wait. I'm so pumped.
Oh, me neither.
Very pumped. Tim,
Withers,
thank you.
Man. Tom Withers.
Thanks, Tim May. Love you, man.